This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Sandy Rios with you here today, filling in for Tony Perkins, who'll be joining us later in the show to tell us about an interesting article he's just written about, the dilemma for voting for Christians. So we'll talk about that. In the last segment, we're going to be talking about Bob Kramer, this Democratic operative who has done the most incredible criminal acts on behalf of the DNC and Hillary Clinton. David Steinberg will join us to talk about that. I have some news that will make your jaw drop. So, I hope you'll stay tuned. Meanwhile, let me just say something happy. And this may be the last happy thing I'm going to say today. And that is that, you know, the Cubs, Chicago fans are just celebrating like crazy today in the streets of Chicago. You know, after 100 years, they finally won the World Series. And, you know, that reminds me, it reminded me very much as I watched this week, Chicago's my hometown, so apology to all of you in Cleveland. As I watched the celebration, you know, this is the way American life should be. People free, people enjoying each other, you know, rivalries that are honest and true. It struck me Thursday night watching that final game that this is what competition should be like, where both teams work really hard. They want to win. They do everything within the rules. There are umpires who are fair. There are replays. And the best man wins. And I think sometimes we think that's the case in politics, but it isn't. We have a rigged system. I think somebody's out there saying that all the time. But it's true. And I think Americans have this notion that what happens in the political world is something like what happens on the baseball diamond, and it isn't. And with that in mind, I have to tell you something really serious. I'll do it quickly because I want to introduce our guest. We have news this afternoon that intelligence for the U.S. is warning us of possible al-Qaeda attacks in the U.S. on Monday, the day before the election. And that is there are three cities, New York, Texas, and Virginia, that are possible targets. And would that not be perfect? Would that not be a perfect way to shut down this election and create some sort of, shall we say, chaos? I'll plant that seed at the top of the show. But meanwhile, it's a wild, wild ride, and it's a wild west, even in the east, with this political race. Let's listen to Rudy Giuliani just making some comments this morning on Fox and Friends.
Right now, I think if we held the election today, he wins by 2-3% nationally and maybe by two states in terms of electoral votes. If we can get him to 22% in Philadelphia, then he can win the state.
So that was a I'm having some problems here. That was Rudy Giuliani this morning saying what he's saying about the polls. We all see that things are shifting, but I thought it would be good to start the show with someone I know well who's an expert at this, one of my favorites, really. She's a professional pollster, she owns Red Revolver Strategy. She's the founder and CEO, but she's an editor-at-large for PJ Media, and she joins us from Las Vegas, because that's her home. Good morning. It isn't morning. Good afternoon, Liz. How are you?
Good afternoon, Sandy. It's good to speak to you.
Okay. Let's just start with your home state, because that, you know, has been, I think, a pretty red state, but it's been nip and tuck, shall we say. What's going on in Nevada?
Well, Nevada's a purple state. Obama won the last two elections, but now it's a squeaker. It's very tight. The latest polls show, I think, tied. Some of them have it tied. Some of them have Trump up one. So it's very, very tight here. And also adding into the mix, there's a lawsuit that the Democrats have filed against the Trump campaign about voter intimidation. So there's a lot of other things going on in the background. They've also filed suit in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Arizona because they're getting ready for the voter integrity, voter suppression story that they want to tell. So we've got that. We have early voting here in Nevada. And so the lawsuit they filed here was about the early voting intimidation that was taking place allegedly.
Yeah, Liz, maybe let me take just a second to flesh that out, because what's happening is that the DNC is accusing Trump poll watchers of intimidating minorities. It's the same but different. This is the same playbook. They always, every time there seems to be an effort to make sure voting is honest and fair and legitimate, it's called racist. And so they're doing the same thing, but this time in court, and they're doing it in strategic states. Well, I've seen a lot of polls this afternoon, Liz, and one of the latest that's really interesting is that I understand that Michigan is tied.
Yeah, I've seen a Michigan poll that it's very, very close. The race has just tightened up so much over the last week. You know, about a week ago, or maybe 10 days ago, we heard CNN was saying, oh, there's a 12-point lead, Clinton's up by 12 points, and now it's a squeaker, and all of these different states are in play, and CNN changed their states in play earlier today as well in Trump's favor. So this is going to be a real squeaker, and I'm concerned because it's so close if we're not going to see, like, litigation so that this isn't necessarily decided on Tuesday. And I know that's kind of sad for people who are really tired of the phone calls and the ads and just all of this election news, but just the way that this tends to play out with the litigation and the media, which props up the Democrats and their voter intimidation narrative, I don't know. It's going to be a real nail biter. Everybody has to go out and vote. Every single vote counts.
You know, Liz, I was just reading yesterday that thousands of dollars that are being spent, millions, on building armies of attorneys to go into various states and sue. Notably, it was the Democrats who are preparing, but the Republicans now are also doing that. I read that there's $6 million that are going into sort of forming a brigade of attorneys for them. So it's true. You know, I think back to the Bush-Gore hanging chads, which is not funny. It makes a funny joke, but it was not funny.
Remember, we Thanksgiving, we didn't know who our president was. It was very tense. It was all sorts of shenanigans were going on there as well. And so everybody remembers that picture of one of the officials holding up a ballot to the light, trying to see if there was a hanging chad there and who it was a vote for. I mean, this is a very real thing. And the Republicans, I think, are putting money into it in response to the Democrats. The Democrats have always been very litigious around elections. So they're queuing up. They're the ones filing suit now, not the Republicans in these important states. And they're queuing it up for the whole narrative that there's voter intimidation and so that they can open this up to dispute. So it's not good for the Republic, I think, that we've turned this into a that this is supposed to go to court and not be just a straightforward ballot box decision.
Liz, back to the polling. What else are you seeing? I mean, what are you seeing that's really striking you in various states? Anything not moving that you thought would move or, you know, just some curious things that you're seeing?
Well, I'm definitely, the tightening up of the polls in the last week is just very unusual in general to see something tighten up that much, to go from 12-point lead, 9-point lead, 10-point lead, all the way down to like 1 or 2 points spread between the candidates. That is just very unusual to see. And I am surprised to see some of these states in play, like Michigan, that we sort of thought were had written off. So I think that this is just very much an open field. And it's difficult for pollsters. There's so many pollsters. Polling has become this media feature. And there's so many polls. Not all of them are good at what they do. And when you are predicting a turnout, especially in an election with an unusual candidate, you have an unusual candidate with Trump where the narrative around him is that he was bringing all these people that had formerly been alienated from the political system. But if you're a pollster and you use models, the same kind of models, pretty much year after year to predict presidential races, and you have this unknown quantity of people who previously have not been engaged, it's very difficult to predict how to work that in. And to be able to predict, these polls could be wildly off, or they could be completely accurate. We just don't know.
Yeah, you know, the hope he votes too. Hey, Liz, I just read an article today that, we've been tracking press and how they have been tied and colluding with the Clinton election. I mean, John Podesta having dozens of them in his home to cook for them, to strategize how to help her, reporters like from Politico, running stories by them, a reporter from AP promising to bury something and had to do with the thumb drive in Mrs. Clinton's computer, and I could go on and on. But I saw an article today about they are now tracking these pollsters and their donations to various parties, and they're finding out that the major pollsters are also donating almost exclusively to Democratic candidates and primarily Mrs. Clinton. I think that's interesting, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not really surprised because there's been a line blurred between being a pollster and being a media personality, right? Because every network and newspaper, they have their own little polling operation or they have their pet pollster that comes on and talks. And if you're not going to talk the line that they want to sell, they're not going to have you back on. That's definitely one feature. And there are legitimate pollsters out there. I mean, campaigns have pollsters. They have internal numbers. And your pollster can't lie to you in that case because you're going to lose. But these public pollsters, the media pollsters, they're selling a story. And if you're going to go on CNN, which is and be involved with Politico, with both two outlets that have kind of been shown to be real chummy with the Clinton campaign, or in an inappropriate way, then you have to kind of sell the story that they want to hear. So I'm not really surprised, and it's kind of unfortunate because what we're seeing is just a total breed of distrust. People don't trust the media now; they don't trust the polls, and really, this is going to have a long-term effect. I mean, what do you do when you can't have any faith in the institutions around you and the information that you're getting? So I'm not surprised to hear that there's political, you know, that there's that kind of political donation at all.
Well, and also that bleeds into voting itself. You know, we're reading, Donald Trump is talking about a rigged system. And then the Democrats and even many Republican leaders came out and just, there's no voter fraud. There's no significant voter fraud. Nothing to that. Nothing to see here. And, of course, you and I know that that's just not true.
But that's outrageous. People say that here in Nevada, and we had people from Acorn arrested for voter fraud. They're put in jail, and yet they still maintain that there's no voter fraud. And just yesterday in California, some random person got like 100 mail-in ballots delivered to their house. They were sent to people to vote absentee, and they got 100 of them at their same address. It was like in a big stack. So how can you say that there's not something bizarre, you know, something that deserves investigation? It should not be just wholeheartedly dismissed. It's so important that we have integrity in our voting system.
We only have about a minute left. I'm just curious as to how you feel about this, Liz. There have been cautions to some of us not to talk about voter fraud because the theory is that it will suppress the vote. The people will say, what's the use? Why should I go vote if there's going to be mass voter fraud? What do you think about that?
No, I think that we should talk about it, and here's why. When people ask me my opinion, and you know, we've talked about this as well, that the state of the race and the polls, you know, maybe a month or two ago, and I always say you need to figure in 5 points for cheating, right? You need to figure in 5 points for cheating, and so we need to talk about voter fraud so people know how important it is. They get out and make it difficult for the other side to cheat. There's only so much cheating they can do, right? They can't cheat by 20%. So you have to go out and vote. You have to outnumber them. We have to outnumber them. So I don't think it's about voter suppression and we should be quiet about it. I think we need to be very clear that we are aware it's going on and we need to show that we have numbers and they can't steal the election from us.
Well, I totally agree. And I think that it's making people alert. And what you are saying, let me just cut to the chase. Liz is saying there needs to be a 6-point spread between the candidates in order to stop all of these challenges and court challenges and to stop the repeat of the Bush-Gore dilemma that was so miserable for all of us that lived through that. Liz Scheld of Red Revolver Strategies, editor-at-large for PJ Media. Liz, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Sandy.
Talk to you soon. All right, this is Sandy Rios filling in for Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch, and I'll be back with some incredible news, so don't go away.
This November, faith, family, and freedom are on the ballot. After 8 years of President Obama, this election will mark the beginning of a new chapter in America. With hundreds of federal races and thousands of state and local contests, the results will determine the future of pro-life legislation, our ability to freely live out our religious beliefs, and who our next Supreme Court justices will be. That's why FRC Action is mounting the National Values Voter Bus Tour. Our bus tour is traveling the country and working with national and state groups to equip and mobilize values voters in battleground states and key races across the nation. As it travels the country, the values bus could be coming to a city near you. Join us in the effort for your values, your vote, your future. Visit valuesbustour.org for more information and to find a stop near you. That is valuesbustour.org. Hope to see you soon.
Are you concerned about the future? The AFA Foundation can help. End-of-year giving allows you to offset your current taxable income, providing you with valuable tax savings on this year's return. And your generous gift will help further the mission of AFA to inform, equip, and motivate people in the culture war for years to come. Through the AFA Foundation, you're supporting the work of the American Family Association by helping individuals and families leave a legacy to help stem the tide of secularism and rebuild our Christian foundations. As the end of the year approaches, carefully considering what to give and when to give it can increase the impact of your gift while still meeting your own needs as well. For example, with a cash donation, your itemized tax return may allow you to receive up to the full value of your charitable gift. Contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook at our website, afafoundation.net, or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. One of the things that's so concerning to us as American citizens is when we hear that our highly regarded voting system, established so long ago, is showing signs of being tampered with. It concerns us when we hear that our justice system isn't just and could serve as a weapon against those of us with a Christian conscience. When God wants to judge a nation, He gives them wicked rulers. That was true nearly 500 years ago when John Calvin stated it, and it is certainly true today. As we've spoken before on this broadcast of the plight and blight of our nation and our churches, we know we're deserving of the judgment of God. Our trust isn't in presidents or judges, but in our sovereign God who calls His people to repent. We at American Decency join with others who are urging God's people to cry out to the Lord in repentance of our sins as a nation, as His church, and as individuals. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Sandy Rios back with you, filling in for Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. And just so you know, I host the morning show for American Family Radio, Sandy Rios in the Morning. It airs at 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time. I'm coming to you live from Washington, D.C., and Tony and I have known each other for a long time. I was president at CWA when he came to be president of FRC, so that's when we first met. So it's an honor to fill in for Tony. He has grown to be one of the champions in this city. And very grateful for the work that he continues to do in FRC and General Boykin, who's a very dear friend too. So it is really my honor to be the host of Washington Watch today. We have watched the most incredible events unfold in these past few days. My head is spinning. I was just trying to figure out how can I make this clear. I'm sure that you're tracking with all of it. But the one thing I want you just to set as a backdrop is that there is a war going on between the FBI and the Justice Department. And now there's another police force entity that's folded into this, but I want you to understand that rank-and-file members of the FBI have laid their careers, their futures, their pensions, their children's futures on the line to shout from the housetops that they have found corruption at the deepest levels. And I'm going to get to that in just a second, but at the same time, we've had these thousands of WikiLeaks email. Julian Assange, who would have thought an unlikely person who is leaking? You know, he's been held at the Ecuadorian embassy in London. He's been there in seeking asylum for a dozen years or more. And he's leaking these emails that have really given us tremendous insight into what's going on behind the scenes. I think that certainly those of us in Washington have been watching this know that they're are strings being pulled behind the scene, but I think that we had no idea how deep, how wide, and how vast the plans that have been laid and how infiltrated virtually every agency in this country and how decades ago things have been plans have been laid, and they've been working out until the WikiLeaks and until the FBI is releasing this new information. Let me talk first about the WikiLeaks. This just came out today, and this is not for children. All right, so for the rest of this segment, I would just, you might not want your kids to listen to this. This is stunning. You know, because being on the front lines, we see so much of the wickedness, we see glimpses of it. You know, I've often said that there is more to these, there's more to this rampant dishonesty and corruption and selling of America and sexcapades. There's more. If we know this stuff, there's got to be more that we don't know. Well, today, this is the story from two different entities. I'm going to read to you the one from the Washington Times. This is just, it's just really hard to take. So again, don't let your kids listen to this, please. WikiLeaks, Podesta invited to a spirit dinner. Hosts' known recipes demand breast milk and sperm. Now, I have to tell you, that's the cleanest headline you could give to this because it's worse than that. But I'm not going to get any more graphic than that. That's enough. We know from these leaked emails that John Podesta's brother was inviting him to a spirit cooking dinner at the home of artist Marina Abramović. She's a writer of a book. I can't go into a lot of detail about this. You can read it for yourself in Washington Times. The email reads like this. Are you in New York City Thursday, July 9th? Marina wants you to come to a dinner party. At from Tony Podesta to his brother John. Remember, John is the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton. Dear Tony, I'm so looking forward to the spirit cooking dinner at my place, Ms. Abramović says. Do you think you'll be able to let us know if your brother's joining us? All my love, Marina. All right, so here's the story. Mrs. Abramović is a well-known artist who has performed since the early 1970s. Her latest memoir, Walk Through Walls, was reviewed by the New York Times on November 1st, and this is what they said. You will need to be able to withstand a great deal of conversation about clairvoyance, tarot cards, didgeridoos, and Kundalini life forces, monks and gurus, etc. That's not even, she thinks that she has the ability to foresee the future. She was in an interview with Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga said the entertainer, Lady Gaga praised her and praised the performance where she laid on a table with guns, condoms, sleeping pills, and ropes. And there was a sign in the museum where she was lying on the table that people could do as they pleased to her. They were not responsible for anything that happened. This is, and there's a lot more to this spirit dinner that I honestly cannot tell you. John Podesta, his brother inviting him to this. Obviously, they know this, Maria. And so that leads me to the next email, which I'm going to have to hurry through. This is an article from a Breitbart today. Blackwater founder and retired Navy SEAL Eric Prince told Breitbart News Daily on Sirius XM that according to well-placed sources in the New York City Police Department, I'm going to say this in my own words, the New York City Police Department wanted to hold a press conference because they have found the most unbelievable things on the computer of Anthony Weiner. You know that there's an investigation into him having, soliciting. I find trouble finding the words. I can say them. I just, finding the words to talk about such filth. So they're investigating this and they found a lot of other really damning criminal information, including money laundering, including the fact that Hillary went to that sex island that's operated by convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein 6 times. Bill Clinton went there more than 20 times. They found information that congressmen, all kinds of people are involved in this. The amount of garbage that they found in these emails of criminal activity by Hillary, by her immediate circle, and by other Democratic members of Congress was so disgusting they gave it to the FBI. We're going to go public with this if you don't reopen the investigation and you don't do the right thing with timely indictments. So now the Justice Department is going after members of the NYPD. They're actually threatening to bring charges against somebody there that wants to go public with this garbage unrelated to the accidental. Let me read the words. Justice Department threatening to charge someone that had been unrelated in an accidental heart attack death of Eric Garner almost 2 years ago. That's the level of pushback, the Obama Justice Department. There's a lot more to this article. I would suggest you read it in Breitbart. And the point is this. There are men and women here in this Capitol who are laying down, not their lives maybe yet, but close to it, laying down their futures, the lives of their family. They're risking a lot of things, and it is all at war between the Justice Department and the FBI, and you cannot let them stand on the front lines alone. You have to get out there and vote. You have to do what you can do, because now is the time. We are in a battle, and you are one of the soldiers. This is Sandy Rios in the morning. Oh, Sandy Rios hosting for Tony Perkins, Washington Watch. Sorry about that.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, we got the labor participation rate. We got job numbers out today. 161 jobs created in the month of October. That's the headline number. But only 142,000 of them, 142,000 private sector jobs. To say that's pathetic is the understatement of the world. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. This has got to be somewhat politically driven. You know where I was. I was expecting over expectations. Expectations were about 170 because of this leading up to the election. That means there was no way they could figure out a way to justify anything more than 161. So I expect the actual number is probably a lot worse than that. But anyway, that is the number that we received. Unemployment rate fell once again to 4.9%. Well, wait a minute. That means we have a thriving economy. We're back down to full employment. No, because labor participation rate, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, dropped again, 62.8. We are firmly planted in labor participation in the 1970s, and it is very difficult to believe that this is not getting more play and more talk, and it hasn't been for the last few years. This is absolutely horrifying that we still have seen an economy that has dropped the labor participation rate to those levels. But here's the other thing I want to point out about this number. We see in this number major losses in two sectors of the economy, manufacturing and construction. Manufacturing has lost millions of jobs since this president has taken office, and it's very disturbing to see construction numbers and construction jobs being lost, particularly in the month of October.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Sandy Rios back with you, hosting Washington Watch for Tony Perkins. Coming up in the next segment, David Steinberg is going to talk to us about behind the scenes, the man behind the curtain, and it's not John Podesta, the man behind the curtain in terms of causing violence at Trump rallies, of hiring union thugs to do, in his words, you know, whatever we want them to do, hiring the mentally ill to go out and cause trouble, who's written a playbook about how to disrupt, a community organizer from Chicago who trained the president of the United States. So David Steinberg will join us to talk about that. It's going to be quite a story. I want to give you the name of that article I was just referring to. It's in Breitbart. It's NYPD ready to make arrests in the Anthony Weiner case. And of course, I honestly don't think that title captures the content of the article, so that's why I wanted to make sure I told you about it. It's NYPD ready to make arrests in Anthony Weiner case because the founder of Blackwater and retired Navy SEAL Eric Prince goes into a great amount of detail about this war between the FBI and the Justice Department and the NYPD. But, you know, the good news is it is the NYPD and the FBI, and there are offices all over the country that are going after this. And I have to tell you, the IRS out of Dallas is the one that's now investigating the Clinton Foundation in terms of their tax records. So that's another, it's really getting, the investigation is spreading. It's going to be harder for justice to come after everybody. So we'll see what happens. Well, joining me next is a familiar voice because he hosts this show, Tony Perkins, the president of Family Research Council, joining us from an undisclosed location. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hey, Sandy Rios. Good to talk with you in the afternoon.
Yes, it is. I said in the morning a few minutes ago, I'm so used to it, but it is afternoon. I stand corrected.
Well, Tony, thanks for filling in for me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. I know that you've got your hands full, and I would love to ask you how you are, but you and I only have a few minutes, and I want you to talk about this article you just wrote, because it's an important issue here the Friday before the election. It's called Evangelicals Should Reject False Dilemmas. What are you trying to say?
Well, we've seen this developing over the last, since Donald Trump captured the nomination, and it's become more intense. And it's kind of like I started with a question, as a Christian, how would you respond to the following choice? Pray for spiritual renewal in our land, or vote in an election that chooses our national leaders? Now, I hope most Christians would bristle at the thought that you've got to choose between the two, because you don't. There's a third option. You can do both. But what we're seeing put forth is what's called a false dilemma in rhetoric, and that is by saying that you know, if you're really spiritual, you're not going to get engaged in this political stuff right now. You're just going to, you're going to either be spiritual or you're going to be political. Well, the reality is, as Christians, we're called to do both. We're called to be salt and light in a very dark world. And so we're seeing a lot of Christians on the sidelines that have really just been spiritually, intellectually confused by some Christian evangelical leaders that are putting this false dilemma out there in front of them. And so essentially what we're saying is now is not the time to retreat. We have to confront a very difficult decision that's before us, and that is a choice of two candidates. I mean, we're a two-party system. We have two candidates. One of the two is going to be president of the United States, and we have to deal with what we have before us, not what we would like to have or not what we could have, but what we do have. And so we have to make a decision. We have to be involved. We have to vote this coming Tuesday. And so that's the point, is just to help Christians work through this, look beyond these simple arguments that have been put forward, I think, to trip people up, Christians in particular.
Tony, where can people find this article so they could read it and pass it on?
Well, I hope it's probably posted now on TonyPerkins.com. It's on the stream, thestream.com. People can look at it there as well, but it should be on TonyPerkins.com as well.
You know, with this WikiLeaks massive amount of email coming out, one that really reminds me of what we're talking about, Tony, is there is a concerted effort to divide evangelicals, to divide Catholics. They even spelled out in the email the organizations that they were founding and funding. George Soros, the Hungarian atheist billionaire, putting money into dividing evangelicals. And the thing of it is, we have a natural tendency to fight with each other, but boy, they have exploited that, haven't they, Tony?
They have. And what that's called in political terms is voter suppression. What they're trying to do is suppress the turnout of evangelicals because they know that that's critical to a Donald Trump victory. I mean, it's 12%, the core evangelical vote is probably close to a quarter of the overall vote in the general election, maybe a bit higher. That is critical. And what they're trying to do is suppress that turnout by raising these issues. And they've been facilitated by a few evangelicals that have raised these issues, and so the left has seized upon that to spread that confusion even further.
You know, Tony, it just seems to me, when I read the objections, when I read the criticism that the lofty thing is to not vote at all because they can't bring themselves to voting for a flawed candidate, I always see a tremendous amount of naivete. Maybe because we live and work here, we see it differently. You hear the music. What are your comments on that?
Well, I think that's absolutely true. But here's the bigger point, is that we have set the table for this less than desirable choice by not being involved over the years. So because we've created this situation, we can't now just wash our hands of it and walk away. We have to make the difficult choice.
It's time to reclaim our country. And I maintain that the day after the election, if it goes a way that we perceive as good, we cannot rest on our laurels. We got to roll up our sleeves and transform this country spiritually as God gives us strength. Tony Perkins, Tony Perkins, President of Family Research Council, the host of this program. Tony, have a great weekend and talk to you soon.
Thanks, Andy.
Sandy Rios hosting for Tony on Washington Watch. Right back with David Steinberg after this.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit, is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the Land of the Bible with us in March.
Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Wesley Biblical Seminary provides a solid foundation based upon the inerrancy of the Bible and the call to holy living. Online or at our Jackson, Mississippi or Greenwood, Indiana campuses, our academically rigorous learning community will add incredible value to your Christian experience. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning ignite with passion for Christ. WBS.edu.
You want a box? Hit disaster where it hurts. Pack a punch against hopelessness and fill a shoebox with toys, school supplies, and hygiene items for a little boy or girl in need. Make an impact today. Join Operation Christmas Child in the fight to share the love of Jesus and change the life of a child forever. For more information about Operation Christmas Child, visit SamaritansPurse.org. That's SamaritansPurse.org.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you, filling in for Tony Perkins, the president of Family Research Council. And this is Washington Watch. And by the way, I host the morning show for American Family Radio from 8 to 9 on Eastern Standard Time each morning here from Washington. Also, I represent the American Family Association here in Washington. So that's the scoop. That's who's talking to you right now. You know, there's so much news that I honestly, it seems to me that this story broke the beginning of last week or the week before this one. And it was yet another insight into the corruption, the lengths to which the left will go to win this election. It seems mild, kind of in comparison to what we've learned since then. But it's not mild. It's not mild at all. James O'Keefe went undercover. And for 2 years, he did an investigation on what the DNC was planning for the 2016 presidential election. And he got an earful. So let's listen.
There is a narrative that supporters at Trump rallies are violent and dangerous, looking to beat up protesters who don't agree with them. But our undercover investigation into the Hillary Clinton Democratic Party machine reveals a very different story.
If you're there and you're protesting and you do these actions, you will be attacked at Trump rallies. That's what we know.
So that's part of the process of eliciting the reaction.
The whole point of it is we know that Trump's people will freak out. The security team will freak out.
This is Scott Fogel. He is the National Field Director for Americans United for Change. He used to work for People for the American Way, an organization funded by George Soros. He also has his own company called the Fogel Group. He is one of the dark operatives for the Clinton campaign.
We are contracted directly with the DNC and the campaign, both.
Yeah.
I am contracted to him, but I answer to the head of special events for the DNC and the head of the special events and political for the campaign.
The campaign pays DNC, DNC pays Democracy Partners pays the Fogel Group goes and executes my ground.
Democracy Partners is a private political consulting company with deep ties to Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama's White House, and the Democratic National Committee.
Wherever Trump and Pence are going to be, we have a bench.
Okay.
And we have a whole team across the country that does that, both consultants and people from the Democratic Party and the Democratic Party apparatus and people from the campaign, the Clinton campaign. My role campaign is to manage all that.
Bob Creamer is Democracy Partners. He is the husband of Jan Schakowsky, a Democratic congresswoman from Chicago. And in 2005, he pled guilty to tax violations and bank fraud. He was convicted and sentenced to 5 months in prison and 11 months of house arrest. He founded Democracy Partners in 2011.
All right, that's the voice of James O'Keefe, and that was just a portion of his undercover videos that came out maybe 10 days ago. David Steinberg is the New York editor for PJ Media, and he wrote an article that really caught my eye a couple of days ago called Give Him a Taste of Blood. Federal report exposed Bob Cramer's thuggery long before Obama joined with him in 1980. So David has traced Robert Cramer's history in Chicago. That was the guy on the video who was the big boss. They said, this is our big boss. He's the founder, again, of Democracy Partners, working with the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. David, thank you for joining. I'm not David, but Bob Cramer. David Steinberg is the New York editor of PJ Media. David, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Sandy. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. All right. So, but this is not a very pleasurable topic. Let's talk about Cramer. We already know from James that he's the wife of Jan Schakowsky, the congresswoman from Chicago. But what else did you report that we found out about Robert Cramer?
Yeah, the most important thing to know about Cramer is that this relationship, not only with Barack Obama, but with the Democratic Party, traces way back to the days of the SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, back to the days of the Weather Underground. Cramer came from that group. That's when he began his lifelong radicalism. And, you know, Josh Earnest got up there and tried to explain that Obama did not have much of a relationship with this person, even after Earnest had been confronted with the fact that Cramer has visited the White House some 340 times in the past 8 years. The truth is that Cramer was at the heart of teaching a young Barack Obama how to be a community organizer.
You know, let me jump in just for a second, David. I should tell you, I'm from Chicago, and this is something I know a lot about, but I want you to tell the story. But I will just add this. Students for Democratic Society were, they were the socialists. They were the communists of their time in the 60s. And William Ayers and Bernadine Dorn early on were members of this, broke off and started the Weather Underground. These people were violent terrorists. And William Ayers, of course, the first campaign event for Barack Obama and his campaign for Senate in Chicago was held in the home of William Ayers. But I did not know until this that Bob Cramer went all the way back to that. So fill in more blanks, David, if you will.
Sure. Well, Bob Cramer, what the big breakthrough, and obviously what you're seeing now with the public position and a private one quote that you heard about Hillary, that's essentially the training manual that Bob Cramer developed. If you want to know the gist of what he was teaching back then, it was a form of stealth socialism. They got the idea that they simply weren't going to make any progress taking the Bill Ayers route. And what they did instead was put together these community organizer training companies. And they funded them with federal grants from the LBJ administration, from the New Deal. They used this money to essentially teach exactly what Obama is so proud of doing in his early years after college. They taught community organizing. What we didn't know, or most people weren't aware of, is that Bob Cramer was the president of one of those organizations, and he put together material that essentially advocated for everything you've seen over the past year of Democratic campaigning. His ideas of appearing to be fighting for the common person, appearing to be fighting for change, when in reality your goals were a little more radical than that, and behind the scenes you were breaking every law in the book. That's what you get directly out of these materials that Cramer was teaching.
Okay, David, give us some highlights, because you do give some in your article. Give us a sample of what, I know you said a little bit more radical, I'd say a lot more radical, very deceptive, but give us an example of what he was teaching.
Well, I'll just give you some quotes. There was actually a congressional investigation into how organizations such as Cramer were misdirecting these funds they had been granted. And that investigation put up some excerpts from Cramer's teaching materials. For example, here's a quote. Give people a taste of blood. Push your opponent so hard you can see them squirm, end quote. Here's another. You may want to assign some people to be inciters and move about to heat up the action, getting people angrier. Make what the opposition is doing or not doing sound scandalous, whether or not it is. Stunts can help. essentially every event of the past year that you've seen occur at a Trump rally, everything that has painted the Republicans in a bad light that we have from these O'Keefe videos and from WikiLeaks, everything we discovered that was actually planned in advance came right out of Kramer's playbook. He was doing this back in the late 70s. And that's when I get to the point of this article. Obama was still, he had not gotten back to Chicago yet after college. Obama didn't go to meet Robert Kramer and join his inner circle until 1985. Now, at that point, this federal report had already exposed that Kramer was a thug, that he was teaching this thuggery, that he had misused taxpayer money. That's when Obama chose to join up with him, and that's when they developed this friendship that has lasted until this day.
Well, and let me repeat what you said. He's been in the White House 340 times since Obama.
340 times, and 42 times meeting directly with Obama himself.
Yeah, and the other thing too, going back to that O'Keefe video, I don't think that this particular clip had this in it, but they say in the video that they actually go to various cities where they want to cause trouble. They find out where Trump and Pence are going to be. Now, it's just been this particular election cycle. I'm sure it's happened in other elections. This has been the modus operandi for the left for a very long time, back in the 60s, in fact. But it was...
Sure.
Yeah, so...
If you want to know just how long and just how relevant Robert Kramer has been over the past, not just the Obama administration, but even going back to the Clinton administration, Kramer and Heather Booth were the founders of Midwest Academy. That was this radical community organizer training program. Kramer, if you'll recall, was leading the PR push for the public option for Obamacare. That was back in 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. Heather Booth, his co-founder, was the national outreach coordinator in 1993 for Hillary Care. These two people have never separated from this nexus of the Democratic Party. These people who were radical socialists brought up on Alinsky, who were teaching self-socialism. They were teaching people to use words such as change, changing the power structure. Everything you've heard for the past 30 years, a lot of it was written by Kramer and Heather Booth. And again, it was used in Hillary Care's push. It was used in the Obamacare push. It's now being used in Hillary's push to be the president.
And, okay, a couple of things. In that O'Keefe video, they actually discuss hiring, going to the cities where Trump, and now in this case, this election cycle, Trump and Pence are going to be, in hiring mentally ill persons and union thugs. And the guy speaking, who it's Scott Fogel, laughs about how they'll do anything. They'll actually do anything. And so then, I don't know if people have seen those videos of Trump supporters being beaten after rallies, but it is really horrendous. And then turning around and blaming it on Trump supporters. So that kind of puts flesh on what they're doing, David. But another irony to me is you mentioned Alinsky, and of course Kramer's training, the points you just repeated sound a lot like Alinsky to me. Did you track the relationship between Kramer and Alinsky?
Of course. Heather Booth was, I believe, a disciple of Alinsky. I think she was one of his original students back in the decade prior. And Kramer joined up with her afterwards.
All right, so then
much of this training material, if you read Rules for Radical and then read their training material, you're going to find significant, a lot of it is cut and pasted, yes. So this is Kramer's ideology that he's writing here. Much of it does come directly from Alinsky.
And so then we have to say, to remind people, that Mrs. Clinton was one of the original pupils. She was his fair-haired, disciple, I guess we could say. She didn't just study his rules. She knew him. He mentored her. And it also has to be said that Alinsky, you know, studied with Al Capone, learning how to do criminal activities in order to advance a political cause. Is it the connections are all just kind of frightening, aren't they, David? It's pretty amazing how this all tracks together.
You know, there's an important lesson here in everything uncovered. Looking at this from an overview of the past 40 years instead of just what's gone on in the past year, what we're seeing here is that it's not just a case of the means justifying the ends with this group. It's that the means are the end. They were advocating for a lawless, corrupt society. If it seems like every word out of Hillary's mouth is a carefully crafted lie, every action she takes behind the scene is lawless, it's because they were trying to change the world into a place where they were trying to change the power structure. They wanted a world where these things were actually a virtue. That's what they were. That's what they were promoting. This case of self-socialism. It came from Alinsky. Lawlessness was no longer the kind of thing we're seeing with Kramer and in these videos. They saw that as a virtue. When we see them laughing behind the scenes, we're disgusted. They feel like they're doing something for the common good. If there's anything here to really take away from it, it's that Clinton isn't just particularly corrupt. She doesn't believe she's corrupt. And I think that's the most important lesson to take away.
That's a very good point, David. And many here in Washington, and I'm one of them, believe strongly this is an international Marxist movement. I know people don't like to use that word. I don't have a problem using it because, I've had a lot of experience in communist countries. This is the same hallmark. It's the hallmark of the teachings of Marx. And it's a control. It's like a top-down control where people then move to this not being able to be free, not to be able to say what they think, being controlled by a central government. It's central planning. And you're right. They think they're going to order the universe, but they're going to be the kings, and we're going to be the serfs.
Exactly.
David, they
aren't simply breaking the law to get to their preferred end. Breaking the law is their preferred end because they want a world where they are simply in power.
It's funny, a
lawless world where they are in power.
It's funny you should say that because on the WikiLeaks email, that reminds me of one of them. I think this was Jennifer Palmieri, but I'm not sure. It could have been I can't think of her name. It's an unusual name. Where she said why did Mrs. Clinton and her group, her inner circle, go for this unsecured server? Why didn't they? Why would they do this? And the answer was because they could, because they wanted to. And it's your point. They are willfully breaking the law. They want to, and they're proud of it.
Absolutely. Her career, the career of all of these people, is the pursuit of power. They were simply trying to change the power structure. I keep mentioning that term, but that comes straight from Alinsky. That comes straight from Kramer. What they think they're doing is noble. When she's getting away with things on her private server, she felt she was doing something noble. That's what I really want people to take away from everything that's been exposed right now. It's not that the Clintons are particularly corrupt, not that Kramer is the worst. It's not that any of these people are particularly out of the ordinary. This is the movement. This is what they want. They want a world where they get away with anything because they think that's for the common good.
Yeah, I agree. And it's an evil time. It really is. David Steinberg, the article, by the way, is in PJ Media. It's Give Him a Taste of Blood. Just remember that part. Give Him a Taste of Blood. There's a lot more to the article, a lot more detail. And I recommend you look it up and read it and share it with others. David, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, my pleasure. All right, Sandy Rios, filling in for Tony Perkins here in Washington Watch. And remember, there's only a few more days until it's time to vote. And don't be discouraged. Just be on your knees asking God for wisdom and strength. And keep this thing on. Don't finish. Don't be faint-hearted.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 7234.